That loud one was my daughter, by the way, guys. And it's going to be really hard to preach what I'm preaching now because it was, I'm preaching on obedience. So, I promise I'm not a hypocrite. She's three, so it's okay. Nervous as a heart attack, obviously, guys. I wrote down the names of everybody that said they're praying for me. And so if this is a disaster, I know you're lying. I'm kidding. Guys, I studied, all right? And I chose what I'm preaching on because I do have this, I wish it was a full house of teenagers and young kids, because I do have this desire to teach, and I love working with younger kids and stuff like that, and it's important, especially for them to be here and in church, and because if they're not here, they're out in the world. You guys can hear me fine, right? I'm not too loud. I'm loud at work, but I'm not loud here. Obviously, I got to put it way up here, right underneath my throat. Before I get started, and it's unique to me, what I'm preaching on tonight, because I've learned, especially the past few weeks. Oh, thank goodness Stephen's here. I got to talk about you. I was making sure he's gonna be here. Yeah. Well, sit down. I think it's so great. It's mind blowing that there's people that don't believe the Bible, when the Bible, and especially what I'm preaching on tonight, I've never not had an answer for anything coming from the Bible. Anything. Something as weird as what I'm preaching on tonight. And the title for tonight, just for internet's sake, is Serving Man, Serving God. And it's not what you think it is, obviously. The ultimate point for tonight is serving God, being obedient. My emphasis on tonight is obedience. To man and to God. So if you guys want, you can go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where I'll be spending most of the evening, and I'll have a couple other places, but I won't be turning too much, and I'll open up in prayer while we're turning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today, dear God. We thank you, God, just for the opportunity, God, to get up here, dear God, and preach your word, Lord, and just appreciate, dear God, that there's everything in this Bible, dear God, is truth, and Lord, there's applications for everything, Lord, that we could ever possibly need, dear God. There's answers for every question, Lord, that we could possibly have, almost like it's inspired, Lord, and we're so thankful, dear God, just for this truth, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, just to put me, Lord, to the side, dear God, and help me, Lord, just to preach the truth, God, and help me to get my point across, Lord, and for people, Lord, just to leave better than they came, dear God, and have a desire, Lord, to ultimately, dear God, to serve you, Lord, and if there's nobody, God, that's, there's somebody, Lord, that's not saved tonight, dear God, I ask them, Lord, just to prick their heart, Lord, and help them realize, dear God, that the whole reason why you came down here, Lord, was to die for our sins, Lord, and there's no hope without you. And all these things, I ask your name. Amen. Like I said, this is, the parents are going to love this tonight. The kids, not so much. But it's important. And I'm joking, like, my mom's here, guys. So that's great. I'm going to sound like a hypocrite. Because growing up, guess what? You're not. You're not obedient. Man, I can tell you right now, I wasn't super crazy, but I was a wild man. And I wasn't obedient. I didn't listen. I always did whatever they told me not to do. So I really want to focus on that. And guys, if the younger guys that are here, I want you to hear what I'm saying, and I want you to we get caught up. We all know that God's real. We all know that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But there's this complacency that we get where we believe it, but we don't realize just what Jesus Christ done for us. It's like Jesus died for me. And that's how we'll live like that for a long time, and then we'll get convictions, and then we decide, I'm serving God now. And then you become complacent again. And what I'm preaching on tonight is if we can apply this kind of method, what we're supposed to do, this is what I'm preaching on is the commandments that God has given us to serve man. And in doing so, you're serving God. I'm going to start reading here, and I'll be flipping through a couple places, but I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's so cool about this is this is mentioned twice in the Old Testament, Exodus 20:12 and Deuteronomy 5:16. And it was to the Israelites. But of course, once Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, something this great, God promised to us as new Christian saints. And we all look forward to the coming of Christ. But we all also enjoy our lives that we have here right now. And the thing is God wouldn't have... Thank you. I'm dying up here. We all enjoy life. We all want to enjoy life. We all want to live to be old. And the first commandment that God gives us in being obedient is to obey, honor your mother and your father. And I think, and I know I got the backs of every parent here right now. I think if you look in today's time, and I've seen it in the workplace, and I know I'm 30 years old, okay? I'm young. I don't feel like it. But kids today, man, they don't listen. They are defiant. They hate God. And what can God do for me? It's no longer what can I do for God. And something this simple, honoring your mother and your father, and I wrote down right here what it means to honor. I used 1828, Webster's Dictionary, of course. It says to esteem, exalted rank or place, to give reverence, any act by which reverence and submission are expressed. And speaking to the young kids right now, I'm telling you guys, I see it. I see it here in the church sometimes. A lot of you kids are here because you have to be here. And that's fine. You're doing what your parents tell you to. But are you honoring your parents? When your parents ask you to do something so silly like clean your room, are you honoring them? And here's the big thing. Are you throwing a fit while you're throwing all your clothes in the hamper whenever your clothes are laying a foot and a half away from it? God has given one of the coolest promises to us that we can live a long time on this earth that God created for us simply by listening to the commandment of honoring your parents. Something so simple, so easy to do, so easy to grasp, okay? And all we have to do is follow God's commandment, and that's honor your parents. Be obedient to your parents. God will bless you for that stuff. Now moving on before I get too carried off. It says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, everybody's listening, right? All the fathers out here, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's, I know this is a youth meeting, but this applies right now. If you're a parent and you're sitting here, this is important stuff. Now, I'm working night shift right now. It's kind of hard to do. I'm sleeping until 12, 1, 2 o'clock right now. I've had this, I'm telling you right now, the greatest blessing that could ever happen to any married couple in here is having children. There is I have never had the conviction of wanting to serve God as much as I have until I had Eliza. And my desire as a father is to raise her up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Like I said, I'm on night shift right now, so it's hard to do. I try my hardest to read the Bible with her every single night. I try to pray with her and Hannah every single night. Because you want to know something, that's being obedient to God. Because that's what we're supposed to do. And here, I won't step on toes. I know you guys know this. We're accountable for how our children end up. If you don't tell your children from 3 years old, when they don't understand anything about Jesus Christ right now, reading to your children right now is so amazing because they don't understand a single word. But when they start to understand, it's a smooth transition. They grab a hold of it. And guess what you get to do? At 3 years old, you're telling them about Jesus Christ. At 4 years old, you're telling them about Jesus Christ. At 5 years old, you're telling them about Jesus Christ. And at 6 years old, 7, 8 years old, when they finally understand that Jesus Christ came in this world to die for our sins, you did what you're supposed to do as a father, and you were witnessing to your kids and raising them up in the way that they're supposed to be. That's important stuff, guys, and that's being obedient to God. My main point tonight is right here. And this is to adults, and this is to the youth. I wrote this lesson for the youth because if you start now, it only becomes easier to serve God later on. Staying in church, going to church, being here on a Wednesday night when you could be hanging out with your friends. This is so much cooler, guys. I'll tell you a story real quick, and this is why I was asking if Stephen's going to be here. His head might explode. It's true. I remember being younger. When I say younger, I was like 12, 13 years old. Me and Jake used to ride our bikes around here. We lived just down the road. And we rode our bikes up here one time. You may not even remember it, Stephen. But you were out here. We was getting ready for vacation Bible school. And they had the inflatable stuff down at the gym. And we played down there for like 2 or 3 hours. And to this day, that's one of the... It's so cool how God works on little things like that. Because I was able to build relationships and have fellowship with good Christian people here at church. Rather than missing church on a Wednesday night, I wanted to come to church. I wanted to come to vacation Bible school. I wanted to do all these things. Why? Because I seen something here with Stephen, with Ben, with Josh, with all these guys, and I thought, there's something different. This is awesome. This is great. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to come to church. And then, of course, my wife. That was a big factor in it all, okay? hang out with good people. The Bible says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You are who you hang out with. It's a silly phrase that, guess what? Every single parent in here has told their kids. And I'm telling you, at 30 years old, as an ignorant young parent, it's true. They're not lying when they tell you this stuff. It's true. I've been down that road. I've been young and a punk. 16 years old, I didn't want to come to church. I want to go hang out with people. I didn't care. That stuff does not matter. I stand up here right now, and I'm telling you right now, when I was 16 years old, I wish that I had the desire to serve God when I was 16 like I do right now. Because I can't go back. I know God forgives. I could have been doing stuff for God right then instead of 30 years old. Amen. And that stuff's important. Amen. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And this is my main point. I know I bounced around quite a bit. My point is that we are supposed to be obedient. And we're supposed to be obedient to our masters. And I wrote this stuff down. I used 1820 Webster's Dictionary in all my study. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write this down. It's good stuff. But it implies you make it silly proof, then you can't have arguments. You know, you've got these atheists and agnostics that say servants are slaves. That's not the case. You know what servant means? Servant differs from slaves, as a servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. And that's what we are. The younger kids, you're a servant to your parents. You're a servant to your teacher. You're a servant to your pastor. You're a servant to your Sunday school teacher. That's what you are. But the thing is that, and that, once again, it's God. Only God. I mean, it's just perfect. It's voluntary. You decide whether you want to be obedient to man, which is being obedient to God. So, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Obviously, you're not supposed to pray to your masters. Your master's your boss, guys. That's what that is. Take it simple. It's simple scripture, guys. You're a servant. You're supposed to obey your masters. The Bible commands this. And I'm going to get to the point I'm getting here, but that applies for all of us. The adults that go to work, this isn't a brag. I get asked all the time, why do you do what you do? Why do you care so much? I have one conviction about me, it's I feel like I have to give 100% of myself when I'm doing something. Now, if you ask my wife, I'll wait 2 weeks to get to it. But I'll get on it, and whenever I do, I won't stop until I'm finished. Whenever we're doing paving or something like that, and there's 20 guys, and they're running around, I love it. I eat it up. I'm boom, boom, boom. You get here. Let's do this. Let's do this. Why? Because my boss told me I want this. And I am required to do that. But you know what's so great about that? Is you do stuff like that, you have this good attitude, you're obedient, you do whatever you're told to do. It's not for look at me, it's for Jesus Christ. That's the whole point, is you're showing, that's a testimony of who you are. You cannot say a single word about Jesus Christ, which you should. But you didn't say a single word about Jesus Christ, but the work ethic you have will show it. I believe that 100%. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Eye service means, I love saying it whenever bosses show up to work. Eye service means you work really hard when they're watching. And when they walk away, you don't. The same thing, once again, it's a poor example for the younger guys here, the younger men here. When your parents tell you to do something and they're watching you do it, and then they walk away, and then you pull out your phone and you sit on your phone. Is that what your parents ask you to do? No, it's not. You're supposed to be obedient in everything that you do, okay? It says, with goodwill doing service. Be happy about it, guys. Do it because you're doing it for Jesus Christ. You're not doing it because my parents told me to. You're doing it because you love the Lord. And that's the most important thing, is it's for Jesus Christ. Every single thing that you're doing is to glorify Jesus Christ. It's not because your boss told me to, I've got to do it. It's because I'm going to serve God, and I can serve God in every single way possible. You can serve God with singing. You can serve God with preaching. You can serve God reading your Bible. You can serve God praying. You can serve God handing out gospel tracts. But you can also serve God by working just as hard as you possibly can, because it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? And it says, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And it's another promise that Jesus Christ gave us. God says it's not for nothing. God will reward you for the things that you do. Gotta be careful. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, guys. I'm not saying you guys work hard, God's gonna give you that new car. No, we've all been through hardships. Life is rough right now. But God promises you that it's not for nothing. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Whether it be bond or free, God will reward you for it. Whether it's here on earth or up in heaven, God's going to reward you for it. You're not working your hardest for nothing. God rewards you for it. And I got to turn to... Let me get here. I memorized it too much and went through my notes. Turn to Titus chapter 2. And I'll get ready to wrap it up right here. I thought this was really good too, and I was wrapping it up as I'm getting my notes together and I'm studying and stuff. I was telling Hannah, I said, "Well, it's almost done," and then I was reading something. I said, "Oh, I got to put this in there too. This is important," and it is. And there's a point to this too. We're doing that young men study group on Sunday mornings, and then we had the young men's meeting that Saturday, and Luke was preaching, and there's one thing that Luke said that it's, once again, it's weird how God does these things. Luke said something, and I could not shake it. And I sat there, and I thought about it, and then I said, "Brother Gilbert, can I preach the youth meeting?" Why? Because this has racked my brain. And this is the mentality that everybody here needs to have. And Luke was preaching. He said, I can't tell you everything he said, but he said this right here. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he said that the whole entire time, when was that, 3 weeks ago almost? The entire time, the only thing I could think was, what am I going to be doing when Jesus Christ appears? What am I thinking when that trumpet sounds? What am I doing when that trumpet sounds? How great would it be if we were serving God in every aspect that we possibly could, and that trumpet sounded. And whenever we go to meet Jesus in the clouds, we were giving 100% of ourselves all the way up until that point. And the flip side of that is, what scares me is, what are you doing when he does appear? What are you watching? What are you not doing? What are you drinking? Are you cussing? It's silly stuff, right? That matters. You know, one cuss word as a Christian will absolutely tank a testimony. You know why? Because everybody's watching you, and they're waiting for you to slip up and mess up and make a mistake so they can hound you about it. Well, you're no better than I am. Truth be told, I'm not. I'm just saved. But we're accountable for everything that we do. And our work ethic, like I said, it shows Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this right here, and I'll close up. Verse 6 of the same chapter says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. And I read that today and I thought, man, that's crazy. We can just be so good that people are ashamed of the way that they are. Just by having a good testimony, by being obedient, by listening, by not cussing, by bragging on Jesus Christ about what he did. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, which is, that's lost people, okay, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. That goes, that applies to our bosses, and that applies to God. What it says is, when it says not answering again, that means coming back and having to say, well, why isn't this done? Well, you got to tell them, because I got lazy. I was on my phone. I took a 1-hour lunch break when you said 30 minutes. I'll tell you my biggest pet peeve. I don't care. It rubs me raw. Why are you here if you don't care? Why are you playing face if you don't care? That is the biggest pet peeve in work. And that's just not here. That's anything. Why aren't you trying in school? Because I don't care. You're a fool. That's embarrassing. That's what you think is I don't care? Man, people are really going to look up to you. Have a good attitude about it. The Bible says have goodwill. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn to make beautiful the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You're going to make beautiful the Word of God by being obedient, by having a good attitude, by giving 100% in everything that you're doing. I'll close right here, but the point in all this is that you're not serving man. You're serving God. And God says by doing what's required of you, what you signed up for, when you're going to school, when you're going to college, when you're going to work, no matter what you're doing, you're supposed to have a God, number one, it's obvious, a godly attitude. But your work is a testimony of who you are, whether you tell people about Jesus Christ or not. That stuff is so important. And like I said, I'll close right here. But the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. And I just seen that. I forgot to add this in here. Don't compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ because of your boss. Because of, and God forbid, your parents. Because they're not, you know, if they're not Christians or whatever. You can't compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ, though. That's the stipulation there. The younger kids right here, right now, who are going to college and going through college, we beat this into the ground. But these professors, they are crazy. I watch this stuff online all the time. Charlie Kirk, he's a little weird, but you get these liberal ideology professors that they know the Greek, the Latin, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Pig Latin, you name it, they know it, okay? And it's garbage. And this philosophy of, they just don't even believe it, honestly. I'm not going to get into it. Don't compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ because you have to make a professor happy. We're supposed to be bold. Don't compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ because your boss wants you to do this and you know it's wrong, but you got to do it. Don't compromise your relationship. Okay? And the last thing closing here is, guys, you can't serve God if you're not saved. And that's the most important, that's the first step in obedience, is getting saved. And I've watched this video. This will blow your mind, okay? There was this medical outfit that did a study on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they said, based on the torture he went through, he was dead before he died. That sounds weird, but Jesus Christ couldn't die until he said, "It is finished." He suffered, I believe, the greatest torture any man could ever possibly endure, thinking about every single one of us. That's a God worth serving, in my opinion. I couldn't think of any, I couldn't do it. Just being honest, I don't know that I could do it. I would die for my kids. I'd die for my wife. To go through what Jesus Christ had to go through, there's nothing. That's incomparable to anything else. There's no cost for us. Only believing that Jesus Christ died for us. The Bible says he'll save you. It's so easy. There's verse after verse after verse after verse. It's not a five-step program. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to be able to do this. You don't have to live it. Obviously, your faith is shown by your works. But you don't have to live it. Jesus Christ died for you. That's all I got. My point, guys, we don't have a whole lot of time left here. I think we've beat that into the ground too. We know that. You guys have been out there. You've seen the way things are. If there's Christianity, lukewarm. It's backwards. It's wrong. It's wrong, and people are loving it. They're eating it up. They love this simple, easy. I just got to be happy. God wants the best for me. God does want the best for you, obviously, but, I mean, we live on a wicked, sinned earth, okay? Let's be realistic. We don't have a whole lot of time here, and are you looking to the appearing of Jesus Christ? What are you doing when he does appear? Are you being obedient? Are you serving God? Are you serving man? The Bible says you can't serve two masters. What are you doing whenever Jesus Christ shows up? That's all I got.
Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Sister Robin's coming to the piano. She'll go ahead and start. But if the Lord's talked to you tonight, this is your opportunity now to come to the altar and do what you can do with the Lord. Dealing with obedience, how obedient have you been to the Lord?